has joined.
Morning.
The first to arrive will wait another minute or so.
Okay.
Hello.
Has joined.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
So we will begin. We are studying tonight the Sulam commentary on the Zohar from Parashat Vayera. It's Pasuk 285 from section 20. We'll start with the Lashem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bidkilu Urchimu Utkilu Utkilu Urchimu Le'afda L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe V'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'yihino Amadunai Elohinu Alein Ma'asei Yadenu K'nenei Alein Ma'asei Yadenu K'nenei Pasuk 285 Sodom gezar dina dilchon al demanu. Tzedaka minayu kedavar acher v'yad ani v'yevion lo. Echezika uvgin kach dina lahawa ela min shamayim. Tzedaka v'shamayim kola chaduktiv ki gadol me'al shamayim kazdecha ugin tzedalya tzedaka b'shamayim dinahu mishamayim diktiv me'et Hashem min Hashemayim. The translation. As for Sodom, its people were punished because they refrained from giving charity. As it is written, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. And this is why the judgment upon them came solely from heaven, because charity and heaven are one. As it is written, for your kindness is great above the heavens, indicating that charity and kindness are both drawn down from the heavens above. Because charity depends on the heavens, their judgment is also drawn down from the heavens, as it is written, from Hashem out of heaven. My commentary is the verse as clear as written. The commentary by Bracha.
Randall
has joined.
Verse 285. Verse 285 is very clear on the behavioral choice actions that the people of Sodom were punished for, and solely accounted from the heavens above. They forgot their divine connection with our Creator, blessed be He, They live selfishly only for themselves, lacking a feeling heart of charity and actions on kindnesses toward their fellows, the poor and the needy of their land. Their cruelty was noted, and it was Hashem, our blessed King, who took full responsibility to bring full judgments accounting upon Sodom, not his angels. Hashem's angels visit us daily, noting our daily choices, recording these behavioral thoughts and actions that are reported as well as our Creator. Blessed be He who is watching from the side. Hashem hears our every thoughts and words towards each other, towards ourselves and to Him. Blessed be our Holy One. This spiritual awareness is heightened from our spiritual tools practiced for us to see, to hear, and to feel the angels among us. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, I note there's no notation about their sexual behavior.
It was said earlier about the sexual behavior. But they weren't punished for the sexual behavior.
Right. That's the point I'm trying to make. But I think we've read it somewhere before anyway. Although I think that's the way it's been taught all these years, until the Zohar revealed, you know, the lack of consideration when they, well, what they did to Lot's daughter, even, you know, killing her because she was kind to a visitor.
That, according to the Midrash, that's correct, as you know. I had a discussion with one of my other students about Sodom. And I know you may have heard the statement, what is mine is mine, what is yours. And another way of reporting that is, what is mine is yours, and what is yours. And these are literally code words. They're ways of describing how people relate to other people. And what this student said was that the way that the people of Sodom lived, it wasn't that what was mine, and what was yours. I wouldn't even accept something from you because I needed to provide everything for myself. And that's a significant difference and a more severe effect of selfishness. The culture of Sodom was, I needed to provide for myself. But that really goes against the essence of the physical world, the essence of the purpose of the creation of the physical world. The purpose of the creation of the physical world is to remove bread of shame. And in order to remove bread of shame, I have to earn what I receive. And when you say, I have to provide for myself, you're saying that you're not willing to receive anything. You're not willing to receive from Hashem. You're not willing to receive from Satan. You're not willing to receive from other people. You totally go against the essence of the creation of the the purpose of the creation of the world. And that is why Sodom received the effect of their negativity, because their negativity wasn't just selfish. It was selfish to the nth degree. I couldn't accept from you because my culture teaches I must provide for myself.
Reminds me of the story that you've told us somewhere along the way about the selfishness of the lamb.
How, yes.
You know, one's drinking at, or would two come just to drink at the water, and the one on the left won't let the one on the right get the water.
Or something. But it's not that he wanted to.
I had that picture in my head.
Yeah, it's very clear. It's very true. It's not that the lamb wants what the other lamb has. He just doesn't want the other lamb to have it.
Right.
Very severe.
But until you told that story, I didn't know that that was characteristic of the lamb. I always had this picture of a sweet little lamb.
We all do. I mean, that literally that story was told by Rabbi Berg, and the way he expressed it is, the Zohar says the lamb is the most negative animal on earth, and he's talking about a sweet little lamb. I don't understand it. So he said, I really don't understand lambs because I live in a city and I'm not really aware of it. So he went down to the zoo and spent the day observing the lamb, and that's what he observed.
So what about the fact that they were selfish and they didn't want to accept anything from anybody else because they felt they had to provide for themselves? What if they thought, if I accept something from you, then I'll be obligated to you, and I may not want to be obligated to you?
But at least under those conditions, you were willing to receive from somebody that you were willing to be obligated to. It's less severe than somebody who says, I don't want to receive from anybody. It's not pleasant, but it's not as severe. This world was created so that we would be able to receive from others and appreciate what they do for us. Because that's how we remove bread of shame. By creating a circuit of energy, someone provides for us, we provide for someone else. It doesn't have to be the same person. We don't think like that. We think, here's someone who has a need for clothing, and I provide the clothing for that person. And that person appreciates that I did that for them. We've removed bread of shame. One of the alternative descriptions of a tikkun is removing bread of shame. How have we removed bread of shame? I provided the clothing. The person who received the clothing, they need to accept that clothing, appreciate that I did that, and through their appreciation, there's a circuit of energy made. But it doesn't mean that that person has to appreciate what I did. It just means that that person needs to appreciate what Hashem creates and what Hashem provided and how Hashem chose me to be the one to provide the clothing. This is all about creating circuits of energy. And if I shared that clothing with that person, and that person needed the clothing, but that person had some excess food, and I don't need that food because I have food, Leanna Ra, so they can go back and share it the other way. They can share that food with a third person. Our society thinks that if I share something to someone, that they need to share back. If I buy food from someone, I pay money to that person. Does that person have to pay me back? There's an exchange, the food for the money. But it doesn't have to be that way. In a perfect society, if I have the money and I don't need the money for the excess food I have, I give the person the food and that person gives the money to someone else who needs the money and it's not me. That's a perfect world. That's a perfect exchange. That's what we're moving towards. Of course, there are difficulties in that. It's how do you measure that? How do you equate that? How do you deal with the person who takes advantage of that system? Because I don't know if the person that I gave the food to is giving money to other people. But in a perfect spiritual world, I would know that from my intuition.
I have an example here. I can deal with food. Every once in a while, they'll have a giveaway, some type of a food giveaway. So I get in line and I go through the giveaway. Well, one giveaway that they gave, they had meat in it, in my giveaway. And so I called a friend of mine and I said, long story short, what are you doing? Nothing. Come on over. I just got casual clothes. I said, ain't nobody going to see you. So they came over and it ended up. It was, I think it was a 13-pound roast and packages of pre-cut hamburger patties and stuff like that. Okay, so that person, she took it home and she was grateful. She needed it. So then she had something that she had gotten in a giveaway. And she turned around and gave that to a little lady that has several children. And that's how it went. I had something. She had something. I had something. I gave something. She had something. She gave something. And the end result was from that giveaway, three people were helped.
Correct.
So that's
that's the way it's supposed to work.
Well, that's how it works down here on my end.
Well, there's
that reminds me of another lesson that you've taught us. I hope I can remember exactly how you said it. That when you hand something to someone, that's equivalent to the yod. You extend your arm out. And when they reach out, you go ahead and tell it because you end up with the tetragrammaton. And to me, that means so much to me. Every time I try to do something, it like takes me out of the picture. And I feel like that's Hashem's hand reaching out to them. But you tell it how it goes. I did it in one of the ladies' classes. But for some reason, I can't remember right now.
Our bodies are related to the tetragrammaton. Our bodies are created in the form of the tetragrammaton. When we, our shoulder is like a yud. our hand with the palm and the five fingers is the He. So when I take something in my hand and I stretch out my hand, I have the Yud at my shoulder, the He at my hand, and the stretching out to someone else creates the Vav. And then when I put it in that person's hand, it's the second He. And so the process of sharing is connecting to Yud He Vav He. Through the action of stretching out your hand to someone else and putting it in their hand, you have connected to you've created, you're the image of Hashem, Yud He Vav He.
And then you when you have that thought, it takes you out of the picture to expect that person to return a favor to you when you need it. You know that Hashem will do the same thing for you. You don't have to. You don't
exactly.
have to expect somebody to be the one to do for you because you did for them. That helped me. That was quite a while back, but it really does. Those examples really mean a lot. They speak to the heart.
They do.
That's a good example. That.
Go ahead, Brandy.
I don't expect things in return. I do.
Oh, I
it
didn't.
Because,
I wasn't, I
no,
wasn't
no,
insinuating
no.
that, Brandy, because I
no,
know
no.
you.
I did it because I knew this person needed it, and I had it, and it wasn't for me, it was actually for them. Only it just went through me to get to them.
And what you've just described is during Purim, we have a mitzvah to share two kinds of food with another person. You all know that.
Hello?
What you don't know is the way the Kabbalists do that is they have a party. Now, they don't do it now because of the pandemic. But prior to the pandemic, and it will come again, you would read the Megillah, whether it was the evening or the morning, it didn't matter. You would read it, and then you would have a party where we would sit down to break bread and have a meal. And during that meal, we would we would share these two types of food with somebody. But we didn't do it. We asked a third person to give it to that person for us. So that person didn't know where this was coming from. And as this took place, you could feel the joy elevating in the room. And it wasn't anything but just, would you please take these two items and give it to that person? And the person would go over and do it. There was no music. There was nothing to elevate your mood, but your mood got elevated because you were doing what we are supposed to do. It's better to not know where that person came from. A better way I'm not criticizing you, Brandy, but a better way would have been to take that, call a friend, and say, can you take that over to that person for me?
Right.
That's the way it needs to happen. We just don't think like that. Our society isn't oriented that way because we don't think that sharing is the priority. But as soon as you establish sharing as your priority, now you start to think, well, how else can I have someone else share? And this is where you use the third person. And that third person is the balance point. The third person is the central column. So when I'm sharing and the person is receiving, we need to have a third column, a central column. We need to have that middle person doing the action of moving it from me to you.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful concept, and it works. It's an amazing to experience it. We've all experienced Purim. We know the joy of Purim. We know about, you go and give two things to someone. But it is such a difference if you do it with the middle column, if you do it with that third person and have them do it for you, you're going to be amazed at the increase in your joy.
Wow. Well, that happened to me the other day. I was with a few ladies, and we had food. We went to eat, and I always get my normal baked potato and salad. And I went to get my check, my bill. And the waitress said, "You don't have a bill. Someone already has taken care of it."
That's the way it works.
And I have an idea, but I still don't know exactly who did it.
You don't need to know. What you need to know is who else can you do that for? The next time you're in a restaurant, you can do that for somebody you absolutely don't know.
I did. There was a young couple eating, and you could tell that they didn't have a lot of coins, and must have been an anniversary or birthday or something. And I kind of overheard them say something about, well, were we going to get this, or were we going to get that, or should we share this, that, and the other? You know, knowing, being in that position before, knowing that sometimes you share because there's not a lot of coins, you know, in your pocket.
Right. So we've all been there.
I told the waitress, I said, "You see that couple over there? I said, you let them order whatever they want, and you put it on my tab."
That's what we need to do often.
And they were just
much enriched by doing that.
Well, made me happy.
Exactly. Made them happy, too.
Yeah, it made them happy. I hope they had a great night after they left. But they were young.
Well, everybody was young once.
Yeah.
Come on in, Lynn.
Okay. I made a sales catalog that I got this week. Now just got giving place.
I have to run.
Okay.
I'll see you at the 7 o'clock class.
Okay.
Shalom gadol.
Good stories. Enjoy them. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.